Shane Thesaurus Jones. Thanks very much for joining us on the program, Shane. Tēnā koe.
Hey, morena. I am looking out at Macquarie Island as I prepare to go to my mining conference here in Rotorua.
You're not mining Macquarie Island, are you? What the heck? What's down underneath that island that you want?
Hell no, bro. I wouldn't do anything on Macquarie Island if someone had put a makutu on me.
Yeah, say no more. Say no more. All right, where are you drilling this week, Shane?
No, it comes to pass that I have to address a strange location for a mining conference, Vegas. But I'm here to share the gospel with the geologists, the engineers, the investors, the company CEOs, and a variety of other hangers-on in my beloved mining sector as we count down to voting, which I think starts on November the 26th.
Tēnā koe. I've watched the opal mining shows from Oz, the gold mining shows from there in Alaska. Are we to see bunches of, as you describe us, garden variety Kiwis now getting out there with their metal detectors, scouring the hills and ripping it apart in the ways that they do in Australia with total disregard for the environment?
I saw that the Aussies, federally speaking, up to $1 trillion worth of debt. They can probably get away with it over there, having these monstrous figures of debt, because all they've got to do is send a couple of scientists, geologists out, find some new minerals and just dig it up. The world's got an insatiable appetite for what they can produce. But no, I claim line honours because I had set a figure on behalf of the government as a part of the mineral strategy, $3 billion worth of exports, and I've already struck that figure well before the 2030 year. And look, I undercooked my ambitions in the event that I get back. God willing, I can have the portfolio again. I shall have to reset my ambitions, so I'm not so modest, and I'll have to sort of tune my rhetoric up. I'm obviously very understated.
You're a very understated man, Mr. Jones. Okay, so where are the shareholdings taking this bounty? Is it to fuel some, sort of exotic lifestyle on the Queensland coast, or is some of this money coming back to us here in ENZ?
80% of every dollar stays in our fair isles. And we've got to stop, Dale, perpetuating and spreading this falsehood that somehow just because the royalties don't meet the expectations of Greenpeace. And by the way, I'm astounded that Steven Spielberg, E.T. Go Home, and all the movies that he's made, mind you, I quite like Indiana Jones, perhaps it's a sort of appellation I should arrogate to myself.
Yes, he's decided
to give some money to the Santana mine. I'm astounded that foreigners are able to interfere in our politics like that.
And I'm astounded that they're able to buy houses in our land. But anyway, there's some issues that you can champion going forward. After 14 years of negotiation and scientific analysis, community engagement and legal processes involving Waikato Tainui, the regional council, their farmers, industry and environmental groups, why did the government choose to pause Plan Change 1 and rewrite key environmental protections without consulting the very parties that negotiated and invested in the process?
Oh, you're talking about Plan 1 in the Waikato
yes,
region.
Mate.
Yes,
yep,
well,
yes.
The plan goes back to virtually the days of Helen Clark and Michael Cullen. And sadly, the regional council and the iwi of Tainui took far too long to develop it. And technology, science, and the economies moved on beyond the original contours and parameters of that plan. And with our new RMA, it means the plan's no longer necessary. So we didn't want to have a new RMA system, which will make the plan redundant. Therefore, we've paused the plan until 2032. We're going to bed our new system in. And the sense was that the plan would impose a host of controls on food growing, in particular veggie growing, which would have been terminated in Waikato. And in the midst of cost of living crisis. We couldn't have that. No treaty settlement trumps the supreme lawmaking power of Parliament. And look, my solution is I'll go and find some money to start killing that Asian fish, the koi carp, which is creating a huge amount of damage in the waterways in the lake. I think it's called Lake Waikare near the Whangarei Reserve. That'll do a lot of good down there at Waikato. But first I have to get enough votes to do that.
Yeah, understand. Do you love the Waikato as I do? We do?
Yeah, well, I went to St. Stephen's School. We spent a lot of time going in and out of Waikato as a teenage boy.
Mm.
And Tuku and I went to the same school. Look, I know Tuku and them are a bit upset that they put a lot of effort into it. But sadly, at the end, the Plan 1 turned into a sparring game between the veggie growers, the farmers, and the regional council. And the regional council has too many staff members who ideologically are anti-development. And the staff members have been served up a very bitter lesson that Parliament has more power than the regional council. And that's just a constitutional lesson that they have to learn the hard way.
Māori should have some say in that. You didn't even mention our peeps then. We love that river. We want it to be as clean as we can possibly make it. And if veggie growers, fertilisers are compromising the health of that river, then obviously we're going to arc up. Federated Farmers welcome the pauses, giving farmers breathing room. Waikato Tainui warns it's going to result in another 6 years of river degradation. How hofakaro?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of exaggerated language all over the place. In the lower reaches of the river, which is, I think, what they're talking about, you're always going to be pushing against the Pacific Ocean. Any river gets brackish the closer it gets to the mouth of the river. As mighty as the Waikato River is, when the full tide strikes in the Tasman Sea, you're always going to get that melding of salt water, the brackishness of the fresh water. And of course, the water going into Lake Taupo actually comes from the Whanganui River, and then from Lake Taupo it travels down and joins a host of other manga and awa, Waikiri, and it flows all into the Waikato. And it's unfair to blame just the veggie growers and the farmers for the problems associated with the catchments flowing into the Waikato River. And of course the Waikato River, it's a long-term journey to plan it, but it's quite simple. New Zealand First is never going to agree, for as long as we've got power, to the termination of food growing in Waikato. To us, it is far more important to address the cost of living, the human capacity to eat, live in an affordable fashion, and we are not going to tolerate any rule, any regulation, terminating or driving out of existence food production in the Waikato Basin. End of story.
I hope you're going to put up some legislative guardrails so that the practices of those said food growers would marry up to Māori expectations, so that they're not making profit by putting paru into the river systems and waterways. You say that Parliament's new planning regime is going to deliver the vast majority of the outcomes sought under Plan Change 1. If that's the case, though, Shane, why not retain the existing plan, which had already been through the Environment Court in years of negotiation, rather than override it at the 11th hour?
Yes, because a number of the rules and regulations that the regional council is seeking to impose on farmers and veggie growers will soon be outdated. And there's a lot of good elements in Plan 1, and they can be retained. And it's just a transition. We don't want to have a sudden lurch so that food growers are in a situation where it's no longer feasible all of a sudden for them to continue to either generate dairy returns or indeed grow vegetables. And look, the regional council, as in other parts of the country, have had a tendency to overreach. And they've catastrophized ecological criteria to the detriment of economic criteria. And we've got to have some trade-offs. The Waikato River, it's a bit like that famous song in Mississippi, Old Man River. It'll keep flowing. I wouldn't worry about it too much in the short term. We have an economic set of critical challenges that we cannot turn our back on.
Just finally, I noticed that Luxon's come out and said we want to ban social media for under 16s. Doesn't seem to have the support or word out that NZ First Act, not supportive, and the likelihood of it even getting a first reading before the House rises is very slim. Just headline seeking, you think?
Well, look, it's not an initiative that the Leader and I and our caucus support. We think that the powers of the state should not be deployed in this way. It could very well be that some parents don't know how to control their children's access to tablets and cell phones and whatnot. But the notion that the Internal Affairs Department could do a better job raising children than parents and families exercising more diligence and more commitment to their own kids beggars belief. So no. The Prime Minister is very well aware that the view that I had and Winston have, that this is a National Party initiative. And I fail to see how it's going to gather them one single vote. But they are a sovereign political unit and they can paddle their own waka on this issue. But our movement wants nothing to do with this this kite that they're flying.
It's always neat having a cordial with you. Have a good week, Shane. Thanks again for your thoughts and time.
Aye.
Tēnā koe. Shane Jones on Tuesday mornings at around 10 to 8.